for, the comedy podcast where I, Amy Brown, ask fun and interesting people what they're nerdy for. I have a very special guest in my costume chamber today. I have a lady who's traveling the country doing stand-up comedy, and I thank you so much for coming to my home and being here. We have Felicia Madison on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm so glad I'm here and that you're not an axe murderer.
I was gonna say that's what she said in the car on the way here. She's like, I'm so glad you're not an axe murderer. And it is. It's very strange just like trying to do a podcast and reaching out to strangers on Instagram. And then hopefully you've got a friend who has an email for the person. And you're like, you can't even say I'm not an axe murderer in that text, the initial text, because then you're putting axe murderer into people's mm-hmm. brains. You just have to try to sound as normal as possible in a single text. Because on Instagram, if someone's not following you, you get one chance to reach out to them and to sound normal. And I'm not very normal, and I'm dyslexic. So yeah.
I did everything I tell my kids not to do.
This is getting a car.
Don't meet strange people on social media.
And definitely don't get in their house.
Don't get in a car to go to their house. Yeah, and then you did both of those things. But I appreciate
it. So far, so good.
I don't know. Thank you
so much. If you guys don't hear from me ever again.
Yeah, Joel will have to get this out to the world.
Yeah. Just say, just in case this is your last recording, say a message to your loved ones.
Have your husband standing outside of your apartment in New York, just like, I love you. Please come back home. She's hit the road. Well, okay. So you've come, and I'm so happy to meet you. And I have an affection for you in my heart because we are women of a certain age doing stand-up comedy, and we are mothers. And
you're 25, right?
I was 25. Okay.
We're the same age.
I used to say I was 29 for a lot of years. I was just circling 30, like an airplane circling LaGuardia. Like, you never have to land. And you run a comedy club in New York City, West Side Comedy Club, and you also run this university for a comedy class, comedy university called Funny Stand-Up. F-U-N-Y, Funny University, North Carolina. Did I say North Carolina?
You almost did.
New York. And New York. Yes, sorry.
North Carolina's in everyone's minds.
So. Yes. And I'm very dyslexic. You'll find out. I'll start texting you faster without rereading my text now that we're friends. And you'll have a nice time.
You'll find out all the weird idiosyncrasies and defects of comedians.
Oh, I bet. I bet you do.
You're probably ADHD too.
Okay.
She can already tell.
Joel's been telling me I have ADD for a year now.
I think all comedians do.
What? That's crazy.
I do. Huh? I just watched Ellen DeGeneres' special, and she did a whole thing on being ADHD, and I was listening to it. And I'm like, oh my God. Because I didn't diagnose myself. My kids diagnosed me.
Yeah. Yes. And mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And which I say is really irritating because they're so dumb. I can't believe they figured it out. But she does this whole thing on ADHD and how she has it. And I'm like, oh my God. Me and Ellen, we have so much in common.
So much in common. And you can dance. I bet you can dance.
I do.
She likes to dance.
I wanted to be a dancer growing up. I can confidently say that I dance better than Ellen DeGeneres.
Ooh. Well, yeah. She's got a funky dance. Yeah. It's more of a character actor dance.
Yeah. Stick to stand-up, Ellen.
Oh. Did you grow up in New York City?
I grew up in the West side of New York. It's called New Jersey.
Very, very far west.
Very far west. But right over the, it's really literally right over the George Washington Bridge. We used to drive, when I was in high school, we would drive into the city, and if we couldn't find a parking spot, we would just drive home.
Okay.
That's how close we were. It was like 15 minutes, no traffic, an hour with traffic.
Could you walk it or is it?
No. I mean, we could, I guess, but. You have to go over the bridge.
Is that scary to be on a bridge with the cars going fast? You can't walk through the tunnels either.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to walk through a tunnel.
Yeah, it sounds like smelly in there and scary and drippy.
Yeah, I'm terrified of heights, so walking across the bridge is just something that I would not want to do.
When a bridge, my grandmother is from New England area, and some famous bridge opened, and they had a thing where you could drive your car up to the bridge, stop right before you got on the bridge, and there's like a little booth there, and there's a person in there, and you could be like, I need someone to drive my car for me. And they have a person who'd get in your car, and you would get into the passenger seat, and they would drive you in your car over the bridge, and then they'd get out the other side.
Because they were afraid to drive?
They were afraid to drive over the bridge.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
I get that.
I'm like, can they take me to Bergdorf's also? Right? Just wait outside while I do a little shopping.
Yeah. It's hard to find a parking spot. Just circle until I'm done. Okay. And then you just had a very successful special come out on YouTube. Mm-hmm. And it's called Better Than Sex. Fabulous name. And it's gotten loads and loads of views, 230K views. Like, that's the dream. You did the dream.
It's part of my next special is that when I was promoting it, I would have these little cards that said Better Than Sex with a really sexy picture of me on it, which was like about 20 years old. Don't tell anyone.
I have those too.
And as I was handing them out, I realized people thought it was porn. which explains why it's doing so well on YouTube.
Oh my gosh.
A lot of very disappointed young men watching my special.
Maybe I should name my special Naked Feet.
Naked Feet.
Happy ending?
You're going to get a weird audience.
Yeah, I said I'm going to do my next special in Dallas and call it Felicia Does Dallas.
Oh my gosh. That is brilliant.
And I tell that joke on stage and it doesn't work because the young audience has no idea what I'm talking about. Like the Debbie Does Dallas thing.
Well, I don't like young people in the audience. Yeah, they're, you can do
can we
it.
Get rid of them?
I'm right.
They're so annoying.
Well, they're not reproducing, so that'll help. Oh, Debbie.
Felicia
Does Dallas. That's fantastic. Where in Dallas are you?
I'm not really doing it in Dallas.
Oh, no.
It's just part of the joke. But I might now that it's
there's
like
a Dallas comedy club there.
Yeah, someone told me. Actually, someone said I should do it in Fresno. It should be Felicia Does Fresno. But I tried that on stage too. It didn't work.
Yeah, people. It's too far from the original. Maybe.
Dallas, yeah.
Yeah. So can
wonder
you
where Debbie is.
Yeah.
Let's do a search. Is she still alive?
You find out what Debbie's doing. Does she have a special out yet? How many views does she have?
Let's get her to try stand-up.
Yeah. Maybe she could do
Debbie
5 minutes.
Debbie does stand-up.
At the top of my set, and we'll put it in. I'll get some more views. Whatever happened to Debbie? Debbie does elder care. No. I'm trying to think of a D word that's for
old
people.
Yeah, she's got... God. Probably a lot older than us.
Debbie does dementia. There we go. We got the D word for old people.
Oh, God. That's depressing.
So what are your words of wisdom about your journey with your special that can help me not cry so much?
Well, we kind of talked about it a little bit before, and it's just really picking... it's the way I work, and I think it's part of the ADHD thing, is I work really good with deadlines. So I think the important thing is to just pick a date and... go for it. I was working with someone that was helping me put the whole special together, and he kept saying to me, you know, you don't have to do it on this date. You know, and he was like, I'm like, oh, well, first of all, thank you for the confidence. And second of all, I am doing it on this date. And I just set a goal, and I worked with a lot of different people that helped me, you know, bring it all together. And the whole process of doing the special and preparing it, I grew so much as a comedian from just the process.
Was it because of the pressure of this joke is now going to be on the internet? I need to spend more time coming up with possible punchlines for it? Or is it more like you were weaving it into a story and then kind of brought out more?
I think I was just working it a lot with, like I said, I worked with actually the people that I started the school with. And we would go to the club and we would sit there for hours and I would just do the whole thing in front of them. And they would critique me. And it's sort of, you know, I was just talking to Alice, who were doing the show here. And we talk about comedy in general and what I feel is important in terms of teaching, which is what funny stand-up is all about. And I say, you know, if you want to learn how to hit a home run, you could go to a batting cage and you could sit and for hours and weeks and months just keep hitting that ball, and eventually maybe you'll learn how to hit the home run. But if you go to that batting cage with a coach and he sits there and tells you what you're doing wrong and corrects you, you'll be hitting home runs a lot faster. So what I did with the special, with working with people, is I hit a home run. Would have taken me a couple years maybe to do it, but they really, you know.
Are they for sale or rent?
Yes.
How do we call
them? There was one bad habit that I had, and it was so funny. I said to Brian, did you ever see The King's Speech?
Yes.
And he was a stutterer, and he threw like M&Ms. Mm-hmm. I'm like, can you throw M&Ms at me or something? And he's like, I am not doing any self-flagellation with you. You have to do this on your own.
Did you have a tick, a vocal tick?
It was just, he said to me, you're a strong, powerful woman, and you have to act that way. I do have this like, giggle, like my kids make fun of me that I laugh at my own jokes, and I still do. And that's what he was trying to get out of me. Mm. He's like, this is an assassin's job. You got to go in there, and ooh, you got to like, yeah. So yeah. He really, I would say whipped me, but he didn't.
Whipped me.
Yeah. But it was also just doing the special twice, and I never ever did the whole hour. Anywhere.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So the first time I did the hour was actually on the stage.
That's wild.
Yeah. So I did it once, and then I did it twice, and now and just doing that made me so much stronger. I feel like if I had the chance, there was a point where I was like, you know, maybe I would just film it again, because I just felt like even between the two, I had, you know, gotten so much stronger that maybe mm-hmm. I should just, but then I was like, you know, it was all that money. I'm like, not wasting that. Right?
It's an investment.
It is, which yes. You'll never get back.
Right.
did you film it at your club?
Yeah. Yeah.
Home base advantage.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. And, you know, it's interesting now that I'm on the road, you get very comfortable where, I mean, I perform there a lot. So it is kind of like my second home. And, when you go to other clubs and they're different layouts or different stages or different, it's like a, you know, it's almost mm-hmm. very disorienting. So it's kind of good to get out there and see
all the different rooms mm-hmm. and the lighting can be so different. Yeah. I've been doing this program called Moms Unhinged. You'd be great for it if you're interested.
I'm definitely unhinged mom. Probably the original.
You're just like, what do you mean?
No mom's ever like, what do you mean unhinged?
I know, right?
But when I go to the clubs, it's so funny. As a club owner and manager, I'm always like, well, can we move this? I think it'll be better if you move the chairs closer mm-hmm. together and maybe do this, that, and the other thing.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, I would definitely, if I was running a club, I would have so many like thoughts in my head when I'm traveling around and visiting all mm-hmm. these other clubs. Like, yeah, just imagine. Oh, you have to probably bite your tongue a lot.
No, that's, you know, being a comedian, we don't know how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I have more questions about your special, but the ADD kicked in, and I was thinking about, so when did you start running did you do comedy when you started? Do you own the West Side Comedy Club?
So it's complicated. I run it, and I'm like a I don't really know what my title is, but kind of like a limited partner.
Empress,
yes. Queen of comedy.
Figurehead.
Yeah, so it all sort of happened. It wasn't really where I envisioned myself going in the comedy world. I wanted to do stand-up. I wanted to actually write. And I was writing a TV show about my life, mm-hmm. Upper East Side Mom by Day, stand-up comic by night, before The Marvelous Miss Maisel came out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so when I was just about finishing it and I saw an advertisement for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, I always tell people it was a good thing I was on the ground floor, because when I jumped out the window, I didn't die. So I just kept doing stand-up, and I started, you'd appreciate this, because, you know, when you start doing it, you have to do the bringer shows, so you have to get your friends to come, and I was going downtown to these clubs late at night, and my friends all had kids, and we all lived uptown, and, you know, nighttime is like witching hour with like mm-hmm. getting them to bed and homework. So I started doing a lunchtime comedy show, and I called it Laugh for Size. Mm-hmm. So it was like,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah, so it was for ladies who lunch.
Right. And I've had so many conversations with my modeler mom friends about trying to do something during the day when the kids are at school.
Yeah, so
you actually did it.
Yeah, we did it. So I bought all the equipment, and I would find a restaurant with a room, and we did these shows. I hired the comedians, and
do you charge them money to come? Do you charge tickets to your friends?
Yeah. Nice. And the restaurant, they had a nice meal, and they were very successful. And then I also started a daytime mic with another mom friend.
Lovely.
Yeah. So what happened was I was kind of running out of places and looking for new places, and the mic place I was running the mic was running out, and that's how I came to Westside Comedy Club. Was just opening, and I went to them, and I was like, oh my God, I could run this club. And they're like, no, 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 we're okay. But I brought my mic there and I brought my show there. And then they hired me to do their new talent, to be the director of new talent, because they saw that I was organized, you know. Mm-hmm.
You knew all the comedians.
I could run a bake sale really well. The skills of motherhood. So I started doing that. And then the booker left. They asked me to be the booker. And then the pandemic hit, and then the owners had moved, and I basically kept the club alive over the pandemic by doing outdoor shows and Zoom shows. And and then I just reopened the club. They were sort of like, if you want it. And it's been very, very fun, successful, but not without aggravation.
Right.
So it wasn't anything on my agenda or my vision board of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. But I've been enjoying it. And it's been I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like, you know, there are a couple of friends that I have that are mom comms our age. Mm-hmm. And we always joke around, like, no one is looking for us. There's no one out there like, oh, you know what I need? A 50-something-year-old mom doing comedy at my club. That would really be great.
Right.
So we kind of have to make our own opportunities. So having a club is definitely a good way to get stage time.
I have a quick question. I just realized West Side Comedy Club, is it in the West Side of New York?
It's on the West Side.
So it's in the Fancy Lady area?
It's one of the Fancy Lady
areas. I thought it was from West Side Story. Okay. So this... I know.
You're like, I can't wait to talk about musicals.
So is it... So the audience that is attracted to go there, is it like... like parents and things, folks who would love to hear comedy from people who are like us?
Yeah, it's got a variety of different, you know, the one thing about the club, which I always tell people, is it's kind of like the Cheers of comedy clubs. So like we have people that come back a lot. We know who they are. We know each other's names, regulars, which in the comedy world really is kind of unusual. It's, you know, in the comedy world in general doesn't really... I won't say it, but they don't cater to the audience as much as people do. And we do. And so we tend to get and we have full menu of food. So we get older people. We get a lot of couples. We get a lot of first dates. We get a lot of people that are traveling, and we have a lot of locals. It's a variety of ages. Now that I'm thinking about it, I wonder if it's because I run it. It's not like the young set that come there. Maybe I just give that vibe out, even just standing there.
They can't afford the cab up there.
Yeah, it's not like the dudes, no offense to the dudes, but and the young, you know, sometimes you go to clubs and like tables and tables of guys, you know.
Yeah, hanging out.
It's not like that there. It's changing a little bit, but it's kind of like your Cheers comedy club.
That's lovely. Yeah. Do you feel like you need to change out the comedians that perform there so that those regulars are getting a nice sampler of different stuff?
I make a point for a variety of reasons to get as many comedians through the door. So you can come to the 8 o'clock show and stay for the 10 o'clock show, and the 10 o'clock show will be a completely different lineup. Mm-hmm. And most, as you know, in the city, there's so many comedians.
There's so many.
And, you know, as a comedian myself, I feel for them. So I try to give as many people spots as possible. So most comedians, even the top tier, will only get one spot a month at the club.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're really doing a rotation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I try to get as many in as possible.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
That's a cool
model. And so you could come to my club all month and you won't see the same show.
Your club is like YouTube. It's like infinite amount of things to scroll through and look at.
Yeah.
That's a really cool model to do.
Yeah. I should market it that way.
Something for everyone. Wink. That's really cool. Okay. And so, do people like, okay.
Ooh, I can't wait for this question.
I don't have any power in my community. So what does it feel like to, like, do people like reach out to you and it's normal, or reach out to you and it's weird?
No one ever reaches out to me.
You're like, what's it like to be, are you hounded in the streets?
No, but it was weird in the beginning because, you know, I had this open mic that I started, and it was what the school sort of came out of. It was a Friday noon mic. Did it for like 8 years. Mm. And a lot of people that have gone through it, started, or like now like famous. And we were like all friends. We would give each other feedback. We would hang. And then when I became booker for like a couple of weeks, it was like a little weird. Like I felt like they were treating me.
Your energy changed.
Yeah. They're like, hey, guys, it's me, you know? I get a lot of people reaching out to you and it's hard. And I do feel that, again, being a comedian gives me a unique perspective and a way of dealing with other comedians because I feel for them. I mm-hmm. know what it's like. And I joke around. The hardest thing is to tell the young comedians that, you know, they're not ready. And I say this all the time. I remember when I started and I would go to this one club, do my show, and you'd have like, you know, bringer, you'd have your friends and everyone would have their friends there. So it was a very friendly audience. And everyone would laugh. Everyone knew your jokes would hit. And I'd get off stage and I'd go to the guy. Oh, my God. It's like, I'm famous. Like, why are you not booking me more? And, you know, and then you notice when I started booking the new talent shows at my club, and I would always put professional comedians on the lineup, you would notice that the frequency and the decibel of laughter when you're a pro is much different than when you're beginning.
Yeah.
And so I know how they feel and I know where they're coming from. They get on stage, they get laughs, they think, I'm famous, why are you not booking me anymore? And ironically, I think comedians, they always say that we're like kind of like insecure or whatever, and that's why we do this. But when it comes to stand-up, they're all very confident in their work. They all think they're ready.
Because it takes so much delusion to even do it.
I guess,
get on stage is delusional.
And it's hard. I do say that just because I don't think you're funny doesn't mean you're not funny. It just means I don't think you're funny. I know when I say that, like, you know, there's some comedians that are famous that I don't find funny. It's very personal. And you'll find your niche, you'll find your club, you'll find your place, but it's not my sense of humor.
Yeah, fair enough. And you have that conversation.
I've had that conversation.
You have a pair of brass balls, madame. I wonder if it's because you're a mom. You can like do this. You're like, you can have like the tough conversations.
Yeah, I'm a perfectionist, and I take what I do very seriously. I was running a show somewhere else outside of the city, and I was sitting with one of the comedians from the city with the guy that owned the place that I was doing it at, who also happens to do comedy. And he's like, well, when I come to the city, I'd love to come do a spot. And I said to him, well, you'll have to send me your set and I have to see if you're good enough.
Yeah, yeah.
And the comedian next to me is like, whoa, you're a bitch. You're tough. But I take pride in what I do and I take it seriously. So it's hard and it's tough, but, you know, I want to keep the integrity of the club. And if you put someone on that doesn't belong there,
it's not good for them either, because then they eat a bag of dicks and it hurts their ego, and then they have
and
to go
you
do
know you're gonna get that bad Google review. I went to this show, but there was this one comedian that was really bad.
When you're doing your lineups, do you feather in the new people with the pros so there's a nice strong, even if there's a dip, it can pop back up again on the next one?
I do. And someone said that to me the other day, which made me actually feel really good about myself. They said I was one of the only clubs where they give the young people a chance to perform on, you know, heavy hitter shows on the weekend. Yeah. So, and that's part of the school. So the school goes, it's a multi-tiered school, the curriculum, where you go from level one to top tier. And then the people on the top tier are like in a residency. And then those comedians are the people that I scatter through the shows and give them spots. And then they eventually, hopefully, get passed. But, and also there's no guarantee that you go from one to two to three. Someone could be in level one
for a while.
Forever. I mean, you could teach comedy, but some people you can't teach comedy.
Yeah. I agree. Right.
That's very similar to like how some improv places work, where a lot of not everybody that's on like the main cast, but like, you know, you'll be going, as you advance, you start to get more shows. And so it's like, so you get like.
Yeah. But I did, I did UCB and it was sort of did do it after the model. I modeled it after them, but they don't. No matter what, you graduate to the next level, which really bothered me.
Well, yeah, it's because they just want you to give money.
Right, right. But for UCB, it's more for improv, it's more important than stand-up because they're your partners. So I was always really frustrated doing improv with like someone that
holding you down.
Wasn't really good at it.
Right.
And so I thought it was even more important for improv that you shouldn't advance unless you're
ready.
Ready.
Yeah.
So yeah.
That's great. I love how you're running this. Do people feel like you're fair then, like around the city? What do they say about you behind your back?
Yeah, well, I don't know what that is. You know, everyone asks what your secret power is. And my, if I could have a secret power, it would be to be able to be a fly on the wall because I would want to know what people are saying about me. But people,
you could just set up little mics around your theater.
But people, they call me their mom. They call me their momager.
Yes,
you know,
yes.
So I'm older and I'm I have a family and a life and my husband has a career that supports us. So they know I'm not after money or whatever. So I think that gives them a sense of security.
You're not trying to fleece them.
Yeah.
Do you tell them
so
to,
it'd be really easy for me too, because they all trust me. Like if I wanted to, it'd be really great.
Also, that's just what a lot of comedy club owners do.
How do they do that? Do they make the comedian sign a contract or something where they're giving away their future earnings?
I don't know. Some of them have managers.
For club owners, it's just like a lot of like, over-promising, not delivering, not paying, like playing favoritism, using the spots for clout instead of actually being like, no, I'm going to, like you're like, no, I'm booking who's best for the showcase and what's going to be best for the audience, opposed to being like, well, this person gave me a spot on their show in Vermont, so that I'm going to pay them back and they get to do this.
Yeah, trading. There were a couple of things that I did when I started that, I think because I didn't come from the comedy world, I was successful where people were like, oh, you can't do that. And I'm like, that's the one thing my father said. If you can't do that, he was like, why? Watch me. So yeah. I would do the one thing I said absolutely will not happen at our club is spot trading. Mm-hmm. You know, it's you only book people that are good.
Yeah, that's great.
Talking about what people say about you, though, the other day, there was a comedian on stage that actually used the C word to describe me.
Oh!
And I don't think he was saying it as a joke.
Oh!
So I don't
was
know.
Like,
on my stage at my club.
Oh, my goodness. Was it like a roast kind of thing?
I don't know. I haven't. Someone reported it to me.
Did he say bossy C word?
Yes. It was not kind.
Oh.
So, you know.
Or like powerful C word. Like, well, was it like any, go ladies?
Is there a difference?
Is he British?
Is there a difference between a powerful woman and a cunt? That's what he
I know, right? If he's British too, it's cunt is like a term of endearment.
Oh, maybe
there.
He said I can't do it. That's what he said.
This cunt can't do it.
This chick can't do it.
This cunty hoe.
But yes, I don't know what people, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people that don't like me.
Okay, without naming names, what are some like things you've heard about other bookers in New York that are maybe not above board or doing things?
I can't talk about that.
You can't?
No.
Well, what? I'm not
gonna dish on other bookers.
Is there like a...
But there is this one.
You like, bleep everything I'm about to say.
Like, does Central Park have like a sofa somewhere? Like the casting sofa for comedians?
I'm sure. I try to keep everything above board and, you know, being a woman, I think. And I do book a lot of women. Like, it's not unusual to have three or even four women on one of my shows.
Right. That seems normal. Is that not the case in New York?
No.
We do a lot of women in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Lace Larrabee made an army of women comedian here with her class. It was a stand-up class that was only for women for like 3 or 4 years. And
wow.
So every 6 weeks there was an army of new women comedians who now like run Atlanta. Yeah. They have
like
all
the new,
these...
It was the new Tupperware party.
It was the new Tupperware party. Yes. Now it's co-ed, but they're still out there doing it. So is it normal like in New York just have one woman on a show?
Oh, yeah. Or none.
None?
Yeah.
In this day and age?
Yeah, I know.
I will not have it.
I know.
Someone wake up all of the activists who got us voting rights.
I saw a lineup
Susan B.
once.
Anthony.
Yeah, I saw a lineup once of all white men. And I was like,
oh my God.
Really? Like, you couldn't find...
In New York City. In New York City.
In New York, yeah.
Wisconsin,
like, really?
Maybe. Okay. Arkansas. I don't know what Arkansas is like. I've never been there. But like, New York City.
I just, it's...
That's
you know,
ridiculous.
I mean, you could do what you want, but I just thought...
Well, then no one, like, as a woman in the audience, before I started doing stand-up, I would get excited when I saw myself represented on stage.
Yeah, also, there's no excuse in big cities. When I used to, I'm from Chattanooga, so it's like, when we first started, we did not have a big comedy scene, and I would have female audience members come up and be like, why aren't there more women? I'm like, do you want to do stand-up? Do you want to come? do you know a woman that will do stand-up? Because I will book you. Like, we have 12 comics in this city. Please make it 13. But in New York, though, there's no excuse.
Well, someone once said to me also that, you know, you don't want to put a woman on just to put a woman on, because you don't, that's worse. Because then they'll be like, the show is great, except for the woman.
Well, I don't think that's a problem anymore. No, there's so many good women now. Yeah. There's been enough time and opportunities for us to get stage time that we can develop.
Yeah, I have no problem finding women. It's true. We've been put down long enough. We're funny.
Take to the streets. Do you hear the people sing? Sorry, we're gonna do Les Mis.
That's pretty good.
Let's do Les Mis. But we'll do it on the West Side in New York, and it'll be about women comedians. You don't have to sing. You can carry the flag.
The miserable women.
Don't they lose at the end of that?
Well, yes. Fair enough.
I feel like that's not the message you're trying to. You're like, we did it, okay. And then a bunch of men's rights activists came in and killed us. Oh, no.
We'll do Hamilton instead. all right. Yeah. Golly gee. Okay. So that's fact. Because the New York comedy.
Golly gee. I'm down south.
Golly gee. The New York comedy scene terrifies me. It feels like you're at a buffet and there's too many people. Like, no one's going to get the crab legs.
It's hard. It's really hard. You know, and people are always asking me for spots. And I book probably about 80 to 100 spots a month. And I probably list.
Oh, wow. Are you open every night?
Except Monday.
Okay.
But some of them are outside produced shows. So I don't really book. Tuesday, we have a new joke night, which someone else runs for me. And then Wednesday is outside produced. So it's really just Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. And I probably have a list of over 400 really exceptional comedians to choose from. So it is hard.
Yeah.
And I feel for the young comedians trying to make their way up.
It seems saturated.
Yeah, there's a lot.
And then the open mics are like 2 minutes or something like that.
How, five. So you, no, five.
Five? Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm like, I can't even do the premise out and punchline. Okay, bye. Like, yeah. Did that work?
Well, the one thing that I tell a lot of young comedians, it's funny because when they do get a time on stage and they do crowd work, and I'm like, you have 5 minutes to work on your material. Don't do crowd work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's a crutch, and they'll spend 2 minutes out of their 5 minutes like talking to the audience. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, yeah. I would love your input actually on crowd work, because I went to a club in New York to watch as a person to watch comedy, just a human, and several.
Do you mean an audience?
An
member?
Audience member,
a low level plebeian.
Yes, and it was a bunch of national touring comedians, but like three of them came on stage and asked the same guy what he did for a living, and we're all like, he's an accountant. Is no one watching the show?
Yeah, it's a problem. It's a problem in general. Like, I always, like, you know, like, I'd say to the young comedians also, don't get on stage and say, how you doing? How you guys happy? I'm like, okay, I run a comedy club, and if they're not happy, I'm doing a really bad job. Yeah. And when you have all four comedians, get the fourth one, yes, we're happy. And it's the same thing. I think it's very interesting what's happening with crowd work, because it's become very popular. Mm-hmm. And I think it's mainly because of social media, because comedians don't really want to burn their material, which I don't agree with. So they like to create new material, and that's how it got popular. Mm-hmm. And now there's specials with just crowd work, and it's really going to change, I think, you know, comedy. And it'll be interesting to see long run what effect it has. But you're right. It's like this, that if comedians, especially in New York, are running in and out from show to show, they're not sitting watching. Mm-hmm. So they'll get on stage and they'll be like, oh, has that happened already? Sorry. You know, yeah. I wasn't filled in on this. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like you're at a dinner party and then like the grandpa starts talking. Like, we already talked about that, grandpa.
Yeah.
Crowd work. I think now people are wanting it and like yelling out things during. I like to watch the Don't Tell specials. Mm-hmm. Those are really super cute. And during the halfway through a guy's set, a woman goes, "It's my birthday." And I know that that audience was told, "We're recording. Do not interrupt." Right. It was the middle of his set. He had to start addressing her. And he's like, "I know both of us aren't supposed to be doing this right now." Right. And then he had to get back into his material. And people are just cray cray.
Yeah. No, it's hard because I've been trying to get a 5-minute set recorded to submit. And I was doing it once and it was going so well. And I don't know, the girl in the front row, she obviously had issues. She just like pointed at me and started talking, you know, like it was like the weirdest interaction. And I was like, oh, freak, there goes that one. But yeah, there, you know, that's the job of the host to tell people that, okay, I'm talking to you, but don't talk to anyone unless we talk to you first. But sometimes it gets out of hand. I have to walk up to some audience member sometimes and say, I'm sorry, can you please not disturb the
show? I was going to ask you that next, because you're like 110 pounds. And how are you throwing people? Do you have like drunk people in your club?
Yeah, luckily I have other people that work with me. But we had only one really bad situation I never had this happen before, where the headliner of the show got so upset and he walked off the stage.
Oh, wow.
He had gotten up and he was doing, like, he, you know, got up and the first thing he did was ask the audience, "How is everyone doing?" And so someone answered, "Not so good." He's like, I'm wanting to see if like the Yankees are, how they're doing. And then he started getting annoyed and he's like, "Well, how are they doing?" And he started checking his phone. He's like, "You're really checking your phone during my set?" And then it got this like back and forth exchange. And then it got really bad. And the guy just walked off stage. And then I was trying to get this guy to shut up and leave. And then the show was over. And I'm like, I said to the wife, thinking that maybe she could be helpful, "Can you please get up and leave?" She's like, "I'm not leaving." I'm like, "The show is over." And then the people next to him were like mad at him because he ended the show early.
Yeah.
And there was almost like a fist fight between the two of them. Yeah. Luckily it was bad.
Ooh. I was talking to another club runner and I was like, "Has there ever been a fight here?" And she said, "Yes. There was a brawl, like people going over the tables, and it was about football teams."
Oh God.
Can you imagine? Do you think that would happen in New York, or is that only a thing that happens in the South?
No, probably not over a football team in the North, but something, yeah.
A parking spot?
No, there's trashy people.
Probably
everywhere.
Politics or the Middle East, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. People act a fool. People, and like I've noticed this too, a lot of people are in a full blackout, just absolute blackout. No one's driving the ship. Mm-mm. And every thought is on the outside of their bodies.
Also, not everyone has theater etiquette. It's like the same. Like, if this you've never true. Worked service industry, like, you can tell whenever people are, like, being rude to waiters or demanding stuff. You're like, oh, you've never had a job, like, dealing with any of this and realizing sometimes it's just busy.
We had someone in the front row answer her phone. and then the host was saying something, and she's like, "Can you hang up?" And she was talking to the person.
Oh, my God.
And I got up after. I'm like, "Was that your child?" She's like, "Yeah, it was my son." I'm like, "Well, he's alive because he called. So hang up your fucking phone."
Oh, my gosh.
And then he was like a 32-year-old son.
Oh, no. Still living at home. Sounds like, "Mommy, I miss you. Mommy, where's the remote?
One of those,
Mommy, did you leave me a dinner?"
One of those.
Oh, my good. Yeah, people don't have etiquette for going. Well, I don't know. Like, how many tourists do you get, too? Because I think about that in the comedy scene in New York. There's a lot of tourists coming through. So
yeah, it's a problem when they come and they don't really speak English.
Oh, no. I was thinking of Nebraska.
Oh, no. We get a lot of tourists from out of the country. And they literally, like, every once in a while, they'll look at them and be like, "You're not laughing." And they're like, "I don't understand what you're saying."
Oh, my goodness.
Like, okay, well, this is an odd choice of activity.
Yeah. Lion King is down the road. Yeah. They have a lot of music and pageantry. That's probably better.
Too expensive.
You can follow the plot.
Too expensive.
Oh, yeah, maybe they want to save money. Yeah. Do you ever had like a tour bus like show up and drop people off at your club?
Not yet, but that'd be nice.
Ooh, yeah, maybe you should go to a networking event for tour bus people.
We have some comedians that actually run the tours on those buses, and they're always like, I should bring the, you know, they actually get people to come watch the shows. I'm a comedian, come to my show.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. That's a good cross-pollination.
Yeah.
How many comedy clubs are there in New York?
There are probably like four or five good brands. I say brands because one club has a couple of locations. One, two, three, four, five, like five or six, yeah.
Do you guys get together once a year in a very tall building and have a big lunch around a big table and smoke cigars? If not, can we do this?
Sure. That's a great idea.
I want to do like a Gilded Age robber baron energy, but bring it to the like low ceiling, dark comedy clubs of New York.
The Algonquin table.
The Algonquin table, yeah. Yes.
That's a great idea, but I think we'll just do it with comedians.
Yes. Yes. Well, the runners, okay. The runners of the shows.
Yeah.
Because you guys have all the power. Yeah. And you can be like, ha, 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 ha.
I feel so powerful.
Yes. And tired. How is this?
It's amazing. I'm so powerful. My kids still don't listen to me.
Oh, my gosh. We've had the trash can filled with trash for 2 weeks because that little son of a bitch over there won't take the trash to the street. And I've asked him. He's got ADD. And I've asked him 17 times. And he's like, I have an alarm. I promise I won't forget. I promise I won't. And now we've got two-week-old trash baking in the
Atlanta. Is this
your
husband you're talking about, or your son? Right?
No, the husband does everything well. The husband is the only one not riddled with ADD, it turns out. He's just dragging us along. We are his dead weight. He's the one who can get up.
Is not taking the garbage out an ADD thing? I thought it was a man thing.
Oh, yeah. Maybe his wiener got in the way.
Yeah.
That's why you didn't hear his alarm.
He was like, I tried to grab the trash can lid, grab my dick. Oops.
Oops.
Now I have to masturbate again.
Yeah. My big thing is the dishes in the sink, how they just kind of like they all seem to think that that's the dishwasher. Mm-hmm. And so I said in passing to my husband, not even like accusing him, I'm like, it'd be nice if someone put the dishes in the dishwasher besides me. He's like, I put the dishes in the dishwasher every day. And I'm like, oh, right after we have sex every morning. I'm like, you do not.
Lies.
Right?
Lies.
I'm like, what world are you living in? Like, who else are you living with? What other home do you have that you're doing that?
Yeah, that's your other family that you have down the street.
You're not doing it here.
That would be tricky to have two families and not loading in the dishwasher.
I mean, men used to do it all the time.
Men used to do it all the time. I'm actually not allowed to load the dishwasher in our home because I don't do it right, quote unquote. So
that's a good tactic.
Yes.
I can't do
anything
right.
Just be really bad at it.
I don't cook because I don't do that right either.
I have weak wrists.
Yeah. My kids make fun of me that I burn popcorn and there's a button for it on the microwave.
Yeah. Well, it's very finicky. And you're not supposed to have microwave popcorn anyway anymore because it has like toxins in it for you. So, haha. There's toxins in microwave popcorn.
Oh, really?
And like, how bad?
I love the burnt popcorn too.
Do you love the burnt one?
Yeah.
You had so much burnt popcorn, you developed a taste for it.
Yeah, I love it.
How does it work with your kids are older now, but your family and these late nights? Have you always been doing these late nights? Everyone in New York kind of is on a later setting. It's almost like Europe, I feel like. People don't eat dinner till 8 p.m.
Yeah, it's later. It's, you know, my kids were pretty much out of the house. My little one was home. When it was interesting, she was about, I think, 14 when I started. And so I wasn't home a lot for her, but she was already at the point in her life, probably developed it 2 years earlier, where she wanted nothing to do with me. But what's interesting is I was around for 14 years doing everything for her, and she has no recollection of it.
Oh.
She only, when she thinks of me, it's a working mom that was never around.
Oh, my goodness.
And she blames everything on me.
Do you have any pictures of you, like, washing her hair, folding her laundry?
Oh, tons. I mean, the stuff that I did for these kids, it's just, I talked to other moms, like, the amount of time and energy wasted on taking care of your kids, like what we could have accomplished,
right?
Had
and they don't even remember.
She doesn't even remember.
I think I was looking through pictures of my children recently, and I invested so much of time, energy, creative power into like their birthday parties and their room, and doing creative projects with them and making art with them, and they don't remember it except for these pictures. So I'm so grateful for the pictures.
Yeah, well, I always have a joke where I say that about vacations. They don't remember the vacations, and I find it very frustrating that they don't remember because they remember every single time I hit them. So now I end every vacation with a beating. So they'll core remember. Memory. Yeah, smack. She doesn't remember. But the hard part now is, you know, my husband works during the day. He'll literally be coming home from work and I'll be leaving for work. Right. So that's a little frustrating.
I was gonna ask
about that. And he goes to bed early and I, you know, I sleep late.
Right.
So
it's like a bird and an owl are married, and that's what I have too.
Yeah.
And then if you are working, like my husband has the weekends off, and that's when I work.
Yeah. It's hard. It's definitely not a good career for marriages and families unless you're both doing it together, which is a lot of in the city. You do see a lot of comedy couples
or someone who works from home, I think, can do it.
Yeah.
Because then you're with each other during the day.
Yeah. But then you're not really working. But yeah. Yeah. I want, you know, we had a dog. It died over the pandemic. Very sad. And I want to get another one. And my husband's like, well, you're out late at night and you sleep late. So who's walking this dog? And I'm like, I can walk it all day. And he just doesn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it. If you like just have an empty nest that just recently, I'm feeling too like I'm going to pause on getting another dog just to like, I don't even want my plants right now. Like, I can't take care of anything more.
Yeah, I can't take care of plants.
I'm trying to catch up with my perimenopause treatments and figure out like what my body needs. I love dogs too. My graduate thesis from interior design school was dog friendly interior design.
Aww.
That's how psycho I am about dogs.
Dog friendly interior design.
But I can't take care of another thing in my life. No offense, Joel. I told Joel I'd adopt him when we were going to recast.
So I was like, what are you getting mad at me for?
We were going to recast my older son as Joel in this season of The Brown Family. All right, we're going to find out what kind of nerd you are.
I'm not a nerd. No.
You might
She's
not
like,
be.
Here's the thing. I'm actually just cool.
I have had a couple cool kids on.
You should ask my kids. They will probably have like 1,000 nerdy things to say about me.
Right. So
go ahead.
We've had cool people on before.
I'm not cool.
And then we've had sleeper cells. Like we had the woman who runs Moms Unhinged. I should connect you. She is a very successful CEO lady.
Mm.
And she is a nerd weirdo. We've got to the bottom of it. It was so funny.
I can't wait. My kids think I'm the nerdiest, craziest person.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What do your kids think? I haven't had a chance to ask another comedian this. What do your kids think about you doing stand-up?
Well, it's very funny because my two older ones think it's cool. And my younger one, who I make the most fun of, never saw me do comedy live, ever. To this day, has not.
How old is she?
She's now 22.
Okay.
Never saw me.
Is she in the city? Could she come if she wanted to?
She could come if she wants to. She has no interest. And she's very funny and she should do comedy, but she won't because I do it.
Uh-huh.
And when my special came out, her and all her friends watched it together.
Oh, my gosh.
I wish they recorded it.
Oh, the reaction.
She was laughing and she thought it was funny. And so she kind of is like coming around to it. But like I'm an embarrassment to her, period. So comedy is just one extra added thing on.
Right. How long does that last with girls? Like girl is a hard relationship.
Yeah, it depends on the girl, but.
Do you think it's lasting longer because she is a girl?
Well, I think it's because she's the youngest.
Oh, I don't
But she her. Once said to me, we were once out to dinner. Okay, this is a perfect example. And I got mad because she was just making fun of me nonstop.
She's roasting you.
And I said, you know, I really don't appreciate it. And she looked at me and said, Mom, you make a living out of making fun of me.
Yeah.
So that shut me up.
What does she tease you about?
Ugh, everything. I can't do anything right with her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like do the wrong restaurant.
She's
teasing about what you wear and stuff like that.
Everything. Like she, in my special, it's like she actually literally, like she, my kids give me all my comedy. They literally text me something and I text back, oh my God, this is going to be such a great joke.
This is going in the set.
But we were literally in a store shopping and I was trying to get her to buy something. And she looked at me and said, when did your style become so matronly?
Yeah.
That's what she said to me.
Yeah.
So I said, the minute you came out of my body and ruined it, you bitch.
I don't think I have all boys and mine are nerdy boys. So I don't think they would notice. They wouldn't know the word matronly. They wouldn't notice what style
boys
is.
Boys are great.
Do you have a preference? Okay.
Well, I do. My whole bit is about boys are so much better than girls.
I love your joke about taking your son to college versus your daughter to college.
That's the one that went viral. That's my viral joke.
So
do you want a one-hit wonder?
Will you sum it up? Because then I want to tell a story about taking my son to college.
Well, to sum it up, I like broke my back taking my girls to college, and my son had like one bag. Like his bag was smaller than my daughter's shoe bag.
Yeah.
And but you know, I did spend a lot of time. The difference between them on the flip side is I spent a lot of time cleaning his apartment because he didn't give a shit about it.
When he like moved in or when he moved
out? When he moved in. And whereas my daughters, they were like, ew, gross. And they were like cleaning right away, you know?
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
He was like, ah, leave it. It's okay. Who cares? There's mold on the floor.
Right? We flew our kids to our son to college. We got there and then we realized, oh, he didn't pack almost anything. He didn't have a towel. Like we had like, and we didn't think we would need a car. So we didn't rent a car. So like we had to like Uber to a Target. And the Target looked like Bogota, like it had been pillaged, and we're just fighting for the last towel, like so we can just start off life outside of the home on the right foot with this
the strangest
pillaged
thing,
towel.
The strangest discovery I made, which is it's probably super stupid, but like I bought him toilet paper, and he's like, how much toilet paper do you think I need? And like girls use a lot more toilet paper than boys. And I didn't think about it. You know, think about how many times we go to the bathroom and
yes. And there's a lot more stuff happening.
They shake, we wipe, you know. And it like never occurred to me. Like we use a lot more toilet paper.
How many tampons did you buy him?
Condoms instead of tampons.
Very smart, very smart. Okay. Do you like Star Wars or Star Trek?
Neither.
Neither. Here we go. You might actually be the one that's not any of this. Have you ever LARPed or cosplayed?
I have no idea what you're talking about. Can we do that in like over 50 terms?
Have you dressed up in a costume with some friends?
Not on Halloween.
Not on Halloween.
To have sex?
No!
Yeah, just go ahead and say she's the coolest guest we've had.
Either? Yeah. I'm titillated.
Why would
you give a toga party?
I mean, I'm sure I have. Like, we've done it at
college. Tell me about your orgy, your Upper West Side orgy.
No.
No worry about the orgy. Okay. Have you ever been to a Rush concert?
No.
Do you have any card collections?
Like credit cards.
This is fun. I am enjoying this. Have you ever owned or held a tropical bird?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Who was your tropical bird?
It was a parrot.
And you owned it?
No, I held it.
You held it on vacation?
On vacation.
Was this vacation boat related?
It was like on cruise? Some island, yeah.
Were you on a cruise and they stopped and you touched the bird?
No, I think it was just an island and they like
pushed it. You held it on your arm? How old were you?
40.
Okay.
My kids were doing it.
Did you do the dolphin experience?
I didn't. My kids did, and I did not go in. I wonder if I was pregnant. I don't know. I didn't go in.
Have you touched a stingray?
I have.
Okay. Yeah. Have you touched a turtle? A tortoise?
I have.
Have you been to the Galapagos?
I have not. It's where one place I want to go though. It's on my bucket list. Yeah.
Yeah. Go see those big old tortoises
before it disappears.
I know. Underwater. Yeah. Yikes. Okay. Anything else weird you've touched? You've touched a camel. Have you fed the giraffes in Africa at that one lodge where you can feed the giraffes from your bedroom?
I've been to Africa and I've seen the giraffes, but we did not feed them. What is the strangest thing I've fed?
A ferret? Have you held a ferret?
My mother lately.
Oh! Oh, no. His mom, little elderly.
Yeah, that's the strangest thing.
Oh, I know. Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm trying to think animal that I fed that's strange.
Nope. Okay.
Nothing coming
camel?
To mind.
Camel? Have you ridden a camel?
I've ridden a camel.
Where did you ride a camel?
Where was I? Maybe Israel?
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you, have you ridden an elephant?
I feel like I have, but I might just be imagining it. And I'm from one of the pictures I saw seen of my kids. But I think I did. I did it on my honeymoon. We went to Thailand.
Oh no, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's cool. All right. Do you have a cape?
A cape?
Yes.
A magic cape?
Well, it could be just a fun one for the bedroom, I guess.
I have a cashmere one.
Yes. I have a wool one with little pockets. Okay, I'll allow it. Do you have a pair?
I have a witch's hat because I'm the witch of obviously. I'm the wicked witch of the East.
Were you wearing it around the club and that's why that guy called you the C word?
My kids, when I was for Halloween, that was the best costume. My kids all did a Wizard of Oz I wore the hat because I am the witch.
That's fantastic, right? Do you have a pair of fairy wings?
I do have a pair of fairy wings. My daughter actually went as an angel once, and she had like these angel wings. Is that fair? Does that count as a fairy wing? And so the following year, I went as the angel, and I used her fairy wings.
That's sweet. You were the angel. What was your husband?
The devil. He went as
the private equity broker.
No, he went as I think. One of the Beatles, because he didn't get a costume, and I happened to have one of those like black wigs that had bangs that I had for some random reason. That probably when I was in college and I just
during the
goth.
Orgies.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Your orgy wig.
My goth orgy wig.
Okay. Are you worried about AI taking over? Do you have concerns about Elon Musk or going to space, or does that not take up any time?
I am in love with ChatGPT.
Okay. Love, do you use it to help run ads for your club?
I just think it's fascinating. One of my things that I'm insecure about is my writing. And I always say that I'm good at comedy because I'm very concise with my writing and I can write a joke, but I'm not a very, I do this joke about it. I said I'm not a very loquacious writer, and they're like, you can't use that word loquacious when you're describing yourself as not a good writer. But I'm not. I don't write beautifully. Mm-hmm. I write very like matter of fact, to the point. So I take everything that I write and I put it into ChatGPT, and it makes it so much nicer. But there's a funny story. So, you know, I give a lot of feedback. I do feedback mics, and I always tell everyone that I I only give negative feedback because that's the way I was raised. And everyone, and there's a whole skit that happened. One of the comedians on a panel we were doing said, this woman came up to me, this comedian says, Felicia hates me. And it's like, no, Felicia doesn't hate you. She's just whatever. So we do a show kind of like Kill Tony where it's like, Felicia hates me.
Oh my God.
Yes. So I had to write a description of it. And so I was writing, you know, what the show was like, how I give negative feedback and how I don't feel like this, that, and the other thing, writing all the things about how like how I do this. And I put it into ChatGPT to make it nicer, and it came back saying, it seems like you have a problem with positive reinforcement. Here are some suggestions for you. So not only does it make me a better writer, it's making me a better person.
It's sending you help. It's like, this is a cry for help. I contacted the local therapist in your area. Wow, that's hilarious.
It's amazing what it does, though.
Oh, I can't read that great, so I'm trying to, like, I don't know how to use it yet.
There was the problem with them coming up with women robots and using AI for that, and they were complaining,
like sex robots.
Yeah, sex robots, which I think is fine. Won't get a sexual transmitted disease. What would an AI robot give you, like, you know, rust?
Your AI robot downloaded a virus to the family server or something, right?
But they were saying that the one thing it didn't get right was the voice. It sounded, I can't remember what it was, but the voice sounded funny. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, that was the first mistake they made, was letting it talk. No man's going to want that one.
Oh, that's a really good joke. Oh, damn. That's an awesome joke. Do you know all the words to a musical? You live in New York.
I'm sure I do. I don't know. I'm old. I forget.
Greece? Is Greece,
yes.
Like Greece your
time? Yes. Yes. I could probably do all the words to Greece.
Okay.
I think.
Are you PADI certified? Can you do scuba diving? Have you done scuba diving?
I snorkel, and I'm actually terrified of scuba diving.
Yeah. It's creepy down there.
When I snorkel and I hear myself breathing, it like gives me a panic attack.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
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 I'm afraid of heights and depths of the sea. I don't know what that says about me as a person.
You just like,
I like land. I like walking in
the
land.
The sea's terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one should be in there.
Sea level. That's your jam.
Yeah.
Just stay at sea level.
My kids got certified in the pool, like to do snorkeling and to go with some, but I am not a fan. could see fish in the aquarium and I'll be very happy.
Have you ever had a perfect attendance award?
I show up every day for my husband's marriage. That's about it so far.
That's a perfect putting out award.
I didn't say put out. I say I show up. Perfect attendance. No, probably not.
Do you have, what was your celebrity crush? Who was your celebrity crush growing up?
Oh, God. You know, what's really funny is I wouldn't call it a celebrity crush, but I remember when Bruce Springsteen was just coming out and my brother loved Bruce Springsteen. And I'm like, he's nothing. I said, I love Donny Osmond.
Yes.
He's so much more talented.
And handsome.
And handsome. So I yes. would have, I love.
He's a delight.
I actually not even a young. I, you know, my husband doesn't get this, but I am in love, was in love with Prince.
Oh, really?
Love Prince.
He likes a little like gender bending.
He, to me, I still love, I mean, I just, that's my biggest regret is not having met him.
Purple Rain, that movie? Did you love it?
He's just like, yeah, he's just.
You love him so
He's just so sexual and so, in such a like romantically female driven way. And I'm a dancer. I love to dance.
Oh, okay.
So I just love the music and I just love it. When I was in college, someone gave me a mixtape of all his songs. This guy that I was dating that I think ended up being gay, but
Did you watch Flashdance a lot?
Of course. That's what my cover of my
album. Yes, cover of your album is,
I love Flashdance.
Leaning backwards over a chair.
Yeah, and I'm just missing the rain. Yeah,
she pulled the water, and the water came on to her.
That was Flashdance inspired.
That's brilliant. And of course, I'm surprised I didn't
piece
it together.
And that photo, by the way, was taken like 10 years ago.
Right.
And I loved it from the minute I took it. But I'm like, when am I ever going to use this picture? But it was just like something nice to have. And then when I it wasn't the original title, Better Than Sex. It was originally called 45 Years a Woman. It was the anniversary of my bat mitzvah, which was literally, I was going to literally film it on the anniversary of my bat mitzvah. But the date, I ended up switching the date. But I have a joke in the special that is about Better Than Sex. And after I did the special, everyone was tagging, the show, so great. And they were doing BTS, like everyone.
Oh, obviously, so they named it.
Yeah, so I ended up switching it. And my friend was saying, you can't, 45 Years a Woman, who's going to want to watch that? That's so boring. So I switched it to Better Than Sex. And I'm like, I have a great picture for this one.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Right?
Like if you take the picture, it'll come. Like if you build it, it'll come. And that's so cool that your audience named your set. Your special.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Okay. Really, we have to just do this quick because you gotta get Felicia's at the Punchline tonight. And
yay.
You guys follow her on the internet. But have you ever been to like a weird camp, like space camp, band camp?
Just regular camp. I'd like to go to Weight Watchers camp.
I hear now Weight Watchers is just doing Ozempic shots.
Really?
Yeah. They're not doing it anymore. Do you play any musical instruments?
I played the piano and the flute and the recorder.
Okay, the recorder's pretty dorky. Have you ever made your own clothes for a spell? No, you know what I mean. Are you a Disney girl?
I like Disney. Actually, the nerdiest thing about me is probably the music that I like.
What's the music that you like?
I like the teeny bopper girl music. I'm like into all the stuff.
Oh, are you a Taylor Swift girl?
Yeah, I'm like Taylor Swift, but not. I'm like even dorkier than that. Like I like, you know. Let's put it this way. Okay, this is embarrassing. So, the playlist at the club. I have the song Valerie. You know the song Valerie?
That sounds familiar.
It's Amy Winehouse sang it, but I have the Glee version on it. That's how dorky I am.
Did you love Glee?
I loved Glee.
I loved Glee. Yeah. Joel, did you get into Glee or were you too young and male?
No, I wasn't too young. I just didn't. I didn't like
it. You didn't love Glee?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it? I loved
Beverly Hills 90210. I
loved it.
Do you know, I watched it the other day when Shannon died. I just was curious and I went back and I was like, oh my God.
I feel like everything I go back to look at, it's so misogynistic.
Yeah, but the clothes and everything about it was just like, and I loved that show. I was like a Knott's Landing Dallas girl, you know, and then Beverly Hills 90210. So yeah. That's like the dorkiest thing about me. Although the dorkiest thing, the funny thing is being in this business and being around younger people all the time, you find out like things that like I will ask them like, what's that? And they'll be like, you don't know that? And one of the funniest things they made fun of me was I have this bit in my special about porn. And they, and they said to me, it's just, we know you don't watch it because you called it a porn show.
On the onlines, I'd like to watch the pornography show. When does it start?
I don't want
on Netflix. That's too cute. Okay, I'm going to call it. You're not a nerd. 90210 does not count as nerdy. You are a cool, awesome lady. Are you wearing a leather jacket in your special?
I am.
Yes. I mean, anyone who could wear a leather jacket and look sexy as hell in it is not a nerd. Tell everybody where they can see you.
Felicia Madison Comedian on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
And is there anything we should keep our eye out that's coming out for you in the future? Something happening?
Well, I'm on the road, so that's exciting. And I'm probably going to be reshooting my special, a second special in February.
Oh, so it's a fast turnaround.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about it. It's a big birthday for me, so I think I'm going to do it on my birthday. And this way, all my friends have to come to the recording.
Oh, my gosh. That's brilliant. That is such a good way to get buns in the seat.
It's also a good way to lose friends.
Well, at least it's not like one of those destination birthdays no one can afford.
I know.
Like, I was going to go to my son's graduation, but I guess I'll come to your 60th. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. Yay.